Okay, welcome back to the grind scheme of things. In this conversation, in this episode, we are discussing the human condition and our emotions and how they impact and can influence our execution and our workflow. Inside of the 24-hour blueprint playbook, there is a section that is the foundational section that sets the 24-hour blueprint approach to productivity apart from most planners that are out there in the market. And I emphasize that it is important for us to look at our emotional state and or the consciousness that we are operating from when we are taking actions. So that noted, this episode is for those of you, especially who are 24-hour blueprint users or owners of the playbook or owners of the planner. This podcast episode really gives you some insight and some clarity or some understanding with the value and the significance of that section of the book. If you don't have a playbook or don't have a planner, you are okay. The concepts and the principles that I share about will also be relevant to you and may also inspire or intrigue you into re-examining and rethinking your emotional states and where you're operating from and why those states that you operate from are the way that they are. And when you can see it for what it is, then it can also impact how you work and how you flow, right? Which naturally will lend itself to your levels of productivity increasing and most of all, your ability to execute being sharper. So if that's of interest to you, keep listening to this episode of The Grind Scheme of Things. Okay, we're back. So welcome back. I had to reset the recording up for the grind scheme of things, the podcast version of the visual version that you guys are getting a chance to see. So the conversation we're having right now is about emotions and workflow and how to maximize your productivity by balancing both. Okay. So let's talk about the emotional component. When asked about, hey, why and or what makes the 24 blueprint different or approach what makes the 24 blueprint approach different to time planning, time execution, time management, whatever we want to call it? Well, I highlight page 9. Page 9 inside of those, for those of you who have a 24 blueprint playbook, page 9 is the page that is really the core rock, bedrock of this entire thing. If you get page 9 wrong, if you're not paying attention to what's on page 9, or let me say it this way, because the table could be on a different page depending on what edition you have. If you are not clear on the 10 worlds of the human condition and which world of the human condition you naturally are operating from or have been operating from, if you get that wrong, there is nothing that I can do to help. No amount of clear pages and all of that. Clear instructions on how to do this and how to do that. It's not going to do it. It's not going to get it done. Okay. All right. So the 10 worlds of the human condition are a sort of, they are a Buddhist construct of the human experience, and the 10 sort of, you could say, layers or levels that we can find ourselves at any given point in time, on any given day, in any given moment, okay? And they are, I'm going to just read them out. They are hell, hunger, animality, anger, humanity or tranquility, rapture or heaven, learning, realization, bodhisattva, and Buddhahood, okay? Those are the 10 worlds of the human condition, okay? You don't have to get into the spiritual, you know, try to interpret it. I'm using this sort of in a partly spiritual way, but gleaning from it the metaphoric parallel to our human experience, okay? And these 10 worlds, if you are operating in the, let's just say, the wrong one at the wrong time, okay? Or ongoingly operating in the wrong world or the world that's not really appropriate for where you want to go, It will affect how you execute. It will affect the confidence that you have when you're executing. It will affect the level of satisfaction you get after the action is taken. And how depressed you feel, how unfulfilled you feel when, you know, you produce a remarkable result and you think to yourself, why do I still feel like garbage? Why do I still feel less than? Why do I still feel insufficient, inadequate? Okay. So these worlds are super critical and super valuable. All right. So that noted and that said, let's get into what these worlds are. I'm going to read them off and what they're categorized by so that you are aware of them. And then you can judge for yourself which world you come from and that you're operating within. And then you can then gauge how you want your workflow to go, okay? As a result of what world you're in, okay? All right, so let's read these. Hell is characterized by the following, okay? The feeling that living itself is suffering, and that whatever one sees or encounters causes more suffering. Being controlled by destructive impulses. Really understanding what the state of hell feels like can lead to the desire and wisdom to help others. Okay? All right, cool. Very, very cool. All right. That's hell. I think it makes sense. I think we can all get that. Hunger is the inability to use desires creatively and or becoming slaves to them and suffering as a result. The desire to live and achieve goals, right, is also characterized by the state. Yearning to improve things for yourself and others is also characterized by the state. Desires and wants can provide impetus for self-improvement, for human advancement. Okay? All right, great. And then we go into animality. Motivation based on immediate gain or loss rather than reason or logic. Baseness and cruelty, such as seen in wartime. The normal instinct to survive, sleep, eat, make love, and to protect and nurture life. Okay? That's animality. All right? And then we go into anger. Anger is a strong is characterized by the strong tendency to compare oneself with and a preoccupation with surpassing others. Can we relate? Have we heard of this before? Right? Have we heard of that before? Hypocrisy and betrayal. Passion to fight injustice and create a better world. Becoming a creative force for change. Right? This is all in the world of anger. Right? So there's anger in a good way and anger in a destructive way. Let's get into humanity or tranquility. This is another world. Being at peace and in control of desires. Ability to act with reason and humanity. Okay? That's humanity and tranquility. Now we get into what's referred to as rapture or heaven. Fleeting happiness, intense pleasure and happiness resulting from the joy of having one's desires fulfilled, heightened awareness, and feeling glad to be alive. Okay? That works. Feeling lighter already, right? Yeah. And then there's a world of learning. And so the world of learning is awakening to impermanence, striving for self-improvement from learning new concepts through studying the teachings of others. This is the basis for realization. Okay? And then realization is the next world. Realization is characterized by gaining wisdom and insight through the effects of learning and by observing the world. Okay? Now we get into bodhisattva, And a bodhisattva, the word consists of bodhi, which means enlightenment, and sattva, which means beings, and means someone who seeks enlightenment for themselves and others. Okay? So the bodhisattva world is characterized by compassion or acting selflessly for other people without expecting a reward, right? Don't we all want to, at least I'd like to think, want to reach that level? And then the world of Buddhahood is wisdom. It's characterized by wisdom, compassion, courage, life force with which illuminates the positive aspects of each of the other nine worlds. Pretty cool. Okay. So these are the 10 worlds. And now when we look at our workflow, our productivity, we've got to ask ourselves, where out of these 10 worlds do we operate from? Where are we coming from? Right? My hair is kind of thin. Where are we operating from? One of the things I noticed recently was how as I reach out and coordinate work to be done on different projects inside of this 25 Blueprint Academy, what I realize is that some of the contracts or vendors, or even just people who are doing a gig for part of the project, right? They are coming from certain worlds that I'm not as accustomed to, right? These worlds are worlds that are in a lower place. And what I mean by that is sometimes I'm looking for quality work. And I'm looking for quality work at a certain price point. Okay. And what I sense in some cases, because naturally the kind of work that I'm looking for is work that if it's done well, we can actually work for a long time. And what I notice is how much short-term thinking is in some of the contracts or contractors that I'm working with or that I'm looking to work with, right? The short-term thinking being they want to do it. I mean, at least I'm under the impression that there's a desire to do a good job. But what's more important is getting the money for the job done versus getting future business for a job well done. You follow me on that? And it was more pronounced maybe this past week as it just hit me. I was like, oh, most people in these circumstances and situations are coming from, I want to say hunger and animality, okay? And by hunger, it's the inability to use desires creatively and are becoming slaves to them and suffering as a result, right? And at the same time, there's a desire to live and achieve goals, yearning to improve things for yourself and for others. And it's right there at that intersection that many people operate from, right? That intersection of wanting to improve, but at the same time, not being able to use these desires in a constructive way to think logically about the impact of poor work quality, right? Or half-assing things. You get me? And then there's this other realm, as I mentioned, animality, where the motivation is based on immediate gain or loss rather than reason or logic, okay? And baseness and cruelty. I don't think it gets to that, you know, in at least the parts of business that I'm referring to, it's not referring to that. However, motivation based on immediate gain or loss rather than reason or logic, that's where I also notice that people are operating from, right? And although people are thinking long-term, kind of, sort of, in their planning, that's also there. And if you get more into the corporate side world or work life world, the anger shows up, which is where strong tendency to compare oneself with and a preoccupation with surpassing others, hypocrisy and betrayal. passion, of course, you know, passion to fight injustice and create a better world is on the other side of this. But you know, this strong tendency to compare ourselves to other people and being preoccupied with surpassing other people, the hypocrisy, the betrayal, right? We're aware of this. So anger, animality. There's this blend, I think, anger, animality, and hunger. There's just a blend and orbit. I feel like 80% of the world orbits in those three. Okay. At least in the modern world, orbits in those three categories. Okay. So what does this have to do with our workflow? Well, if you're not already kind of getting the hint here, in our workplace, in our work environments, in our work relationships, this is where we're coming from. This is where we're interacting from. We're interacting from these worlds. And we're expecting these like type of results. But look at where we're operating from. We're operating from hunger, animality, and anger. The lower side of the hunger and animality in hunger, animality, and hunger. And we're expecting, you know, humanity level or heaven level or learning level or realization level or bodhisattva level or Buddhahood level results. Okay, now I'm giving people more credit than they may deserve, but you get the idea. So for us to really get this resonant workflow, the workflow that has us really just sort of be persistent and resilient and ongoing, perhaps it's time for us to take a look at where in those three worlds that I just mentioned, the hunger, the animality, and the anger, which side of those are we operating from most of the time? And if we're honest, we're probably on the lower side of it. Okay? So if we want to see a different workflow experience, if we want to boost the productivity, yeah, are there the logical things to do, being organized, setting this up, setting that up, setting this up, setting that up? Yes, you can do all of that. But what happens when those results aren't there? When the things you thought were going to happen didn't happen, didn't happen the way you thought they were, or things aren't moving as fast as you thought they were going to move? Well, what you're going to end up going back to is the emotional states that are associated with these worlds. Right? So no matter what the logical arrangements are, at some point when things seem irrational or you can't make sense of them in the physical, logical world, you're going to go back to this emotional, irrational behavior and sabotage your productivity and the results and the workflow. So if we want a different workflow experience, we're going to actually have to deal with and address and assess this part of ourselves as executors, as action takers, as, you know, whether it's subject matter experts, solopreneurs, business owners, ambitious professionals, however you categorize yourself, this is what it comes down to. These 10 worlds, and I'm showing the pages here for those of you who are just listening, okay? This is the most, I think this is the most attractive part of this entire system, is that it's right there for you to look and say, yeah, this is where I've been operating from. And once you catch yourself there, and once you're honest with yourself about what state you're operating from, then we can actually now look at these other parts of the whole 25 blueprint experience, right? Where we're talking about the five kingdoms of life, of our faith and our family and our faith, which is also fellowship, followed by fellowship and then finances and then feelings and then fitness, okay? And you've heard me talk about that as well. So are you, if you're interested, are you willing to really examine these emotional states that you operate within based on these worlds? And our emotional states, if we really want to break it down, of course, you know, happy and sad or joy or grief, all of those things come up, right? And they're cousins to these 10 worlds. So maximizing productivity is really a matter of assessing this first, these 10 worlds, and identifying which part of these 10 worlds are we operating in. And then once we can own it, we can then be honest with other people about it. We can say, even if it just starts with ourselves, like, man, you know what? I've been really operating from this sort of kill or be killed, eat or be eaten condition. I've been really looking to surpass others and, you know, get some bragging rights and get some told you so's under my belt. Right? Get some told you so's under my belt. Get some flex on the haters under my belt. However, that affects workflow. Okay? And even beyond the workflow, what's on the other side, of, as in the result of what's produced from great workflow, there's a way that that impacts us. There's a lack of fulfillment. There's a lack of satisfaction, which then reinforces hunger, hell, animality, and anger. Okay? So very, very important. So I wanted to address this concept, especially earlier on in this time of year, because it's the foundation to everything else. If we don't get this part right, everything else just sort of skews in the direction of our emotional funk. You know? So if you have any questions about this, you can, of course, dig a little deeper, get yourself a 25 Blueprint Playbook so you can kind of look at the section that I'm referring to, get a deeper dive into these 10 worlds that I referred to. And for scientific purposes, for those of you who are more in the scientific nerdy side, take a look at the work that was done in, let me look it up on my laptop here. Take a look at the work that was done in Power versus Force. All right. Power, I'm just looking it up. Yeah, so Power versus Force, written by David. All right, where's David? What's the last name? I always get this wrong. Hang on. Oh, I'm getting the technical scientific version of this. All right, so David Hawkins, okay? Power versus Force. Power versus Force by David Hawkins. And it's called The Hidden Determinants of Human Behavior, right? This is that's the scientific research that I explored before repurposing and making sure that the 10 worlds were here. Because I really believed and recognized that what he presented in this book was so relevant and so valid to how we execute and operate in human form. So if you want a deeper dive into these concepts, I would highly recommend that you get and start reading Power versus Force. And, or you can of course study the Buddhist version of these hidden determinants of human behavior and go from there. All right. From here, productivity sort of starts to take shape and maximize, because when we're in harmony with our emotional states and the 10 worlds, workflow is a little bit easier because it's reinforcing where we're coming from. If it's a higher state, right? If we're coming from the world of realization, a world of bodhisattva, a world of Buddhahood, everything just starts to flow different. Okay. So that's that. So if you have any questions, I'll leave, of course, all the information you need. It's already in the bio, depending on what platform you're seeing this or hearing this, and or the description section. If you don't have a 24-hour blueprint playbook, get one and start learning how to apply these principles to yourself and to your life, to grow and to thrive and to, you know, manage your life or your business in a smarter way, right? So you can have the unicorn of balance, as people talk about. That is possible. Okay. Thanks a lot for listening and or watching. And I look forward to seeing you in, of course, some of the upcoming sessions where we will dive deeper into parts of the playbook and, of course, relate it to life, daily life. Today, we just had to cover the emotional aspects that are foundational for everything else when it comes to the execution. All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grind Scheme of Things. I hope that you got some nuggets out of this whole thing and realizing that our ability to execute and our productivity is sometimes a reflection of our emotional states, right? Or our emotional resolve, right? Some of us can work in the space of anger and can work from a space of hunger. But I think the long-term effects, the long-term impact is what we really have to count the cost on. Is it worth it to operate from that state of anger if it eats away at your stomach lining and leaves you with an ulcer? Right? It's up to you. It's up to you. But ideally, what I hope is that we recognize that our emotional states can influence our workflow and our productivity, and that we want to be mindful and aware and fully conscious of where we're operating from, so that when results aren't happening the way that we thought, we can actually also re-examine what emotional state we want to respond from and with. So that's the idea here, that you come away with a solution, a new way to think about where you're coming from, where you're operating from, so that no matter what happens, you are always going to come from an emotional state in place that allows your work to continue to move forward. Thanks a lot. And if you, of course, need any of the resources mentioned during this podcast, they will be available in the description section or the bio.